from the country. And they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said,
"Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?"
Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him when they came to the place called the Skull. They crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said,
"Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing."
And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying,
"If you are the King of Jews, save yourself."
There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying,
"Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us."
But the other rebuked him, saying,
"Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong."
Then he said,
"Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
He replied,
"Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. While the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, then Jesus, crying in a loud voice, said,
"Father, into your hands I commend my spirit."
Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said,
"Certainly this man was innocent."
When all the crowds who had gathered there for the spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who was there as a member of the council, but he had not agreed to their plan on action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in linen cloth, and he laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how the body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath day, they rested according to the commandment. Do take a seat. Let's pray. Lord God, this evening we place the cross of Christ before us. May you always be in our mind, the focus of all of our lives, for all that you have given to us. We give you thanks. Amen. I imagine a very memorable moment, a moment to see those what happened. I'm just going to take us back a little bit, take down the emotion a little. Imagine you're at a big family gathering. You're at a moment, 20, 30, 40, 50 people maybe even. I remember the family gatherings of my childhood when maybe so with grandparents on the Irish side, and there would be 30, 40cousins and all sorts, and you know, big, big family gatherings. And to record this moment, you have to take a photograph. So the inevitable moment of let's all gather in. But what happens? You know, someone is handed back then it was a camera, it was back in the 90s, today a phone, but inevitably they can't fit everyone in. So what do? They start walking backwards. They start trying to get everyone in. They start saying, you know, you go over that way, you go over that way. And they start heading towards the door. For me, this is really an image of what Passion Sunday is. It is this moment, two Sundays before Easter, when we attempt to try and see everything that God has done for us in one moment. When in truth, we admit that actually it's very, very difficult. When we see what God has done for us on the cross, when how Jesus was with his disciples. But this is our opportunity, that in faith, to attempt to stand back enough to try and get it all in. Tonight we started with Jesus, with his last meal with his friends, his last supper with his disciples. And his disciples didn't know how it would all play out. But we do. We see it in a very different way. We know after these moments, yes, there will be resurrection, there will be full life come Easter. For Jesus and for us. But that's actually beyond where we got to today. Imagine this as well. You're reading a book and you've got an idea of where it's going. Have you ever been tempted to read the last page? Ever been tempted to try and work out, do they survive? Are they still in the story come the end? Do you ever get that itch? Does it work out? So in a sense, we have to suppress that urge to ruin the book potentially for ourselves. We have to live each page, each moment, page by page. The disciples lived each moment, sequence by sequence, moment by moment, in the ways that we had retold to us. But for us, it's a choice. Today we press the rewind, starting back at the Passover, and we press play from those moments until Jesus is laid at the tomb. We could have rewound it a bit further. We could have tried to squeeze even more into that scene to get a greater sense of that reality. We could have tried to squeeze in Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, that moment that we'll remember next week when people seem to have got it, when people seem to have said, this is the king, this is the one we've always been waiting for. That even for a moment, they seem to have got it. But we could have taken a step back again. We could have tried to see all of Jesus' ministry. Try to put it in view. Maybe in the future, there's the potential that we would run all of Mark's gospel, say. We could have fitted it in a service. Tried our very best to see all of who Jesus is, even just for a moment, in one view. Can we, for even a moment, hold this in view? His birth, his calling of his disciples, his miracles, his healings, his signs of power, what he said, what he taught, his demeanor, how he treated people, his humility, what he said about himself and his submission to his Father in heaven. And then if we step back just a little, We see all of these actions of God on earth, of God coming into the world, and we see a scale of who God really is. More than Jesus the victim, or mistakenly at the other end of the scale, where the scenes just play out, where we see what God did to Jesus. Because the truth is far greater than that. That if we only just saw that little snippet, we might come to that conclusion. But if we step back and try and hold it all in our mind, we see the God who always understood us. Long before we were born, right from the beginning of creation, God always knew us. God always knew that we would need him, always knew how we were made. These scenes that have been retold were brutal. And unfortunately, I think they were also inevitable. Why? Because I think of the goodness of God, because of the darkness of humanity, because darkness always hates light, and finally, that light will always triumph over darkness, but we have to wait for Easter for that. So this is the truth, that we know the end of the story. And when we stand back and we try to see the whole picture, then we are welcomed in. Then we're not onlookers. We're not just watching the scene as if it plays out on the screen. We are invited in to walk alongside those disciples. Perhaps to admit that we'd be like Peter, to deny Jesus. That we would have wept alongside everyone who thought that things would end a different way. And only then do we get to Easter rejoicing. We are part of that same humanity that put Jesus on the cross. So let's, over the next 2 weeks, walk the way of that cross. Come to an increased leaning into God, into loving him more, to trusting him more, and to being even committed to him more in our everyday walk with him. I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer. So let's pray.